that projects. So all of our songs are going to be sung by memory, and that first one you did so well. Great. I promise you that last song that you may not know as well, we'll change it to Amazing Grace, and you can get that one. A friend of mine once said, if you don't know the words to the song, just sing louder, and it'll be just fine. So if you want to do that today, sing as loud as you can to songs and words you don't know, and we'll be fine. The second of which is, you notice I am going old school today. My cell phone is what I'm preaching to, what we are gathering around. That's because our internet is just not fast enough to upload what we need. So we're getting a nice upgrade this week, and hopefully it will be better next Sunday. King has been doing a great job taking care of that. Another change, and a lovely one at that, is we have Noveline Booker in our room today. Miss Navi, I am so glad to see you. What a gift. And I know that people will come up to you and surround you and hug you. We're so glad that you're here. Another one is, I hear that we had a birthday yesterday for one of the matriarchs in our family. Betty, you turned 95, is that right? 95, that is great. I'm gonna start this song, Brent, and if I pitch it wrongly, you pick it up. Do we need the words up on the slide? I don't know. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Betty. Happy birthday to you. Yes. Was your birthday yesterday or today? Yesterday, the same as our friend Lily Waltman over here who turned 10. So that birthday song was for you as well. Well, thanks again for gathering with us, no matter if you're here for the thousandth time or the first time, if you're watching online or gathered here in person, we're so thankful for your presence today. If you are watching online, we are going to share communion, the Lord's Supper, a little bit later. So if you have bread, crackers, wine, juice, water, whatever you're using, we'll share that a little bit later in our service. Before I read our psalm today and light our candle, just something we haven't done in a little bit, let's stand and greet one another around us just for a minute, then I will come up and read our psalm for today. Our psalm for today comes from Psalm 146. Our psalm for today comes from Psalm 146, and it goes like this. Let's remain standing for this psalm, please, and for the songs that follow. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the way of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. There is beyond the azure blue a God concealed from human sight. He tinted skies with heavenly hue and framed the worlds with his great might. There is a God, he is alive, in him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is a God, the great I am. There was a long, long time ago a God whose voice the prophets heard. He is the God that we should know, who speaks from his inspired word. There is a God, he is alive, in him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man, he is our God, the great I am. Secure is life from mortal mind. God holds the germ within his hand. Though men may search, they cannot find, for God alone does understand. There is a God, he is alive, in him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man, he is our God, the great I am. Our God God whose Son upon a tree a life was willing there to give, that he from sin might set men free and evermore with him could live. There is a God, he is alive, in him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man, he is our God, the great I am.
Let's be seated. Now we have our call to discipleship. Ordinarily, we would all say this together, but since we don't have this up on the screens, listen as I read. Jesus called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it."
Father, as the disciples once said, Lord, this is a hard saying. And how are we to do it? Your call to discipleship is misunderstood and just ignored by so many. It is a hard say. Help our unbelief, our lack of trust. Give us greater confidence that you are there to help us as we strive to do your work here. We realize that following you is not always pleasant, and it's not always well received. But you were not always treated pleasantly, nor were you well received. So it goes with the program. Help us, Father. Help us to show the world who Jesus was, who you are, that people will be attracted to the salvation, to the lifestyle that you demonstrated among us. We realize you have called us to be the body of Christ. Help us to take that seriously, 7 days a week. Depending on the power of Jesus. Amen.
As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy.
I. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
The reading today, Mark 11, 12 through 25, reviews some stories or experiences that most of us who've been coming to church for a long time have heard about, but it's always good to study them. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard him say it. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling wares there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations'? But you have made it a den of robbers." The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. When evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered." "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins."
Thanks, Barbara. All right, our young friends, we have a table set in the back for you for Roots. Miss Jessica is heading that way also. If you want to be a part of that table while also participating in this service here, you can do that now. While they're going, let's pray together, please. O God who speaks, pour through me now the gift of preaching, and give us ears to hear and eyes to see. It's through Christ we pray and do all things. Amen. Frederick Buechner, a preacher who is now 95 years old, how great is that, Betty? Preacher who is now 95 years old, describes his participation in Alcoholics Anonymous meetings in his memoir entitled Telling Secrets. He writes this: They could hardly be a more ill-sorted lot. Some are educated and some never finished grade school. Some are on welfare and some have hit the jackpot. Some are straight and some are gay. There are senior citizens among them and also 22-year-olds. Some groups are composed of alcoholics and some, like the ones I found my way to, of people who have no alcoholic problem themselves but come from families who did. Buechner goes on to say that they are apt to begin their meetings with a prayer written by my old seminary professor, Reinhold Niebuhr. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. They are apt to end with the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us as we forgive. Deliver us. Reflecting on his AA days, Buechner believed that churches could learn an enormous amount from those gatherings. Groups of people that had no buildings or official leadership or money, no preachers, no choirs, no liturgy, no real estate, no creeds, no programs. It makes you wonder, Buechner would finish, if the best thing that could happen to many a church might not be to have its buildings burned down and lose all its money. Then all the people would have left would be God and each other. Though Telling Secrets was written 21 years ago now, the comparison between AA meetings and church services were not new. Buechner was not the first nor the last to ponder the differences between the cigarette smoke of a Tuesday night assembly and the smoke and mirrors sometimes found during a Sunday morning service. What stands out to me, though, is a short sentence he wrote right in the middle of this section. Go where your best prayers take you, he said. I don't know if this was a reminder to himself or imploring the church at large, but either way, where his best prayers were taking him was to an American Legion post amongst the people who could seem, to outsiders like me, to rely on simplistic slogans and offer airy prayers to a higher power. But for Buechner, meeting under those fluorescent lights meant meeting God there. It's where his prayers took him, both in location and heart. Where prayers were bringing Jesus' disciples in Mark chapter 11, I'm not sure if they could call it best. Maybe weird or confusing, which makes sense because the circumstances are a little off-putting, or a lot, depending on the character you most identify with in the text this morning. Jesus is hungry for breakfast, sees a fig tree in the distance, beelines for it, finds it full of nice green leaves but no figs. Then hangry Jesus proceeds to curse the tree out, loud enough for his disciples to hear. Can we all agree that's a bit strange? Stranger still, Mark reports to us that it's not the growing season for figs, so how could fruit even be present? What did that poor tree ever do to Jesus? A little unfair, is it not? Strangest of all is the quick scene change to Jerusalem, where Jesus and his disciples go straight to the temple, and Jesus rages against the machine that operates in the courtyard. There are pop-up stores selling the goods and commodities like it's a strip mall in the suburbs. ATMs are plugged into the wall outlets around the perimeter. Licensed animal dealers peddle doves stuffed in cages, while semi-trucks unload imports at the loading docks. And Jesus loses his mind, flipping over tables, blocking the cargo doors. The Gospel of John says Jesus made a whip, going all Indiana Jones on anyone who came near. My house was designated as a house of prayer for all nations. But you have turned it into a hangout for thieves. The religious leaders in charge of the temple, those who despised disruption and surely profited off the temple's marketplace atmosphere, made plans in earnest to dispose of Jesus. The crowd and the business people, meanwhile, are stunned into silence, and Jesus leaves the city for the night. The next morning, he and his disciples walk that same route back to Jerusalem, passing by the fig tree, which is now withered from the roots. Peter sees it and speaks the obvious, "Rabbi, look, the tree you cursed is shriveled up." The barren fig tree takes the initial brunt of Jesus' ire, but it's the leaders of faith and the managers of the temple that Jesus is really dismayed over. Because of them, the place of prayer had become an exclusive club that prohibited the nations and all people from coming. And worship of God had transformed into a veiled money-making scheme, the holy temple secretly harboring pickpockets and shoplifters. That's quite an accusation. Like the tree and its very green leaves, however, the temple with its chief priests and teachers of the law appear to be flourishing because of all of the activity. But neither the tree nor the leaders are yielding any actual fruit of God's Spirit. The yikes moment comes when you realize that the church and her leaders are not exempt from Jesus' criticism, which makes you wonder why anyone in their right mind would not think twice or five times before becoming a full-time preacher. Against the fruitlessness of all of that, Jesus points to three things. One, have faith in God. Embrace faith and throw mountains into the seas. Three, forgive one another, especially those who do not deserve it, because you yourself are forgiven. And two, pray. Pray for absolutely everything, ranging from small to large. Include everything as you embrace this God life, and God will give you God's everything. Faith, one. Forgive, three. Pray, two. All of them flow into one another, a sort of grace-filled, hope-embedded dance in the harvest fields, watching in faith and forgiveness and prayer for fruit of abundance. For the rest of this sermon time, I would like to focus on part two, prayer. Faith and forgiveness merit significant attention too, of course, and maybe you can do some of that in your breakout Bible classes after this gathering. For now, let's return to Frederick Buechner's quote, "Go where your best prayers take you." In my journal these last 3 weeks, I have written down prayer stories that I myself have been a part of. Stories that have taken me to some of the best places where some of my best prayers have taken me, both in location and in heart. I want to share several of them with you quickly, one after another, 15 in total. At three certain points, I'm going to pause, and I would love for you to share where your best prayers take you. Share a brief story of prayer, a remembrance of prayer, who prayed what, a response to prayer, a disappointment in prayer, a location of prayer. I'll give you some of my examples to spur on your own. If something I say brings forth a memory, then please share. Maybe 2 to 4 people, 30 seconds max during each pause. You can go to one of these two microphones. And if you prefer to stay seated while you speak, I can bring you a microphone Instead, if you were watching on Facebook, would you type in some of your own there so we can go back later and read those? In recap, I'll share five, pause, invite you to speak at one of these microphones. If this one doesn't work, just come on up here. I'll share five more, invite you to speak. Then I'll share a final five and invite you to speak one more time. Sound good? Part of the reason we're doing this is because prayer is sometimes easier to describe than it is to define. And in describing prayer through story rather than Webster's dictionary, we remember that we are a people who pray. We are a people who pray because we desire to be as near to the heart of God as humanly possible. Prayer aims to do just that. So here are where some of my best prayers have taken me. When I was a child, probably around up through the age of 9 or 10, each night before bedtime, my family of five would gather in the living room or in my parents' bedroom to pray. My dad would give the order, Chris, Steve, Kelly, for example, and then Chris, the oldest, would pray aloud, and then I would pray, and then Kelly would pray. I usually laid on the floor, maybe even under a table, where everyone could hear me but not see me. I don't remember my dad ever praying at those nightly prayer meetings, but I do remember him praying at the dinner table, which continues to this day, using words like Savior and phrases like Awesome God. And he concludes his table prayers with his Louisiana drawl becoming clear as he says, Amen. My dad's dad, Pa, we called him, prayed around dinner tables too, choosing the familiarity of identically worded prayers in King James lingo. We thank thee, God, for this day and for the meal that we are about to partake. My mom's dad had a habit of smiling during his dinner prayers, sitting at the head of his table. I know because I watched. And even though he bowed his head so low that his forehead nearly touched his plate, I still saw the corners of his upturned lips as his distinct voice prayed, which I can still hear in my ears even now. You remember that? My mom, meanwhile, I'm not sure if I've ever heard her pray in public, but I know she prays all the time because she tells me. And with her discovery of emojis a few years back, she sends prayer hands and texts me no matter if I'm flying on vacation, getting a small tumor off my forehead, or dropping my daughter off at school. What about you? Where have some of your best prayers taking you? A brief story of prayer, a remembrance, a response, a disappointment, a location. 30 seconds max, please. And there are a couple of microphones right here, or this one up front if that one's not working. Let's do that for a few moments now.
First, giving honor to God, to the pastor, to his beautiful wife, to the congregation. I'm not going to go so fast. I'm not going to go so slow. But my prayers, my parents, before they moved on with the Lord, my dad would pray. He was a minister. My mother, she believed, but she didn't really say much prayers and everything. My prayers, I went to Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I kind of went there and got into a big bind and everything. And the Lord has looked over me, and he took my prayers. He took me through. He took me through from Tulsa. He brought me back here to my hometown, Houston. And now the Lord has blessed me to be here. So this way.
Is this thing on? Yes, it is. Okay. Hi, everybody. My name is Paul. I like long walks on the beach, margaritas. Sometimes I'm just kidding. I'm just, laughter is the best medicine when I'm very, very nervous. There was a point in my life that I never had thought that I would ever, ever, ever feel as a child. And recently, something happened to the point where I've been searching for help for the last month or so. And everyone I would call would just push me in a circle, in a circle. I would call churches. I would call everyone. I just needed help. I told Pastor, I feel like, well, first of all, I'm alone in Houston. I don't have any family here. I'm from the Rio Grande Valley. Anyone else from the valley? No? Okay, that's okay. My family lives in Freeport. They're about an hour and a half south from here, guesstimation. But I told Pastor, these last 2 months have been the most traumatic for me, and I feel like I have a black veil on me, and I'm walking with a candle, and I have no idea where I'm going. I feel lost. I feel afraid. And something told me, well, when was it? A couple of days ago, PJ, because for most of you that don't know, I own the optical that's right behind here. Something told me, PJ, there's a church right behind you. Why don't you just reach out and ask them? And I did. And so far, this has been the most helpful place that I've come to in such a short time. Everybody just kept turning me this way or that way. But you guys welcomed me with open arms without knowing anything about me, which eventually you will learn as we know each other. But that's what brought me here, because I wasn't going to come. I was scared. I was nervous. And then something said, PJ, or I go by Pablo is my legal name. If you're upset, you can call me Pablo. It was just said, PJ, you have to go. Something is telling you, like, I don't know if it was prayer, my conscience, you can call it whatever you want to call it, but there was a voice in my head that says, go, meet these people, they want to meet you, and I think I passed my 30 seconds, I'm sorry.
Spoken to bring them to this church. When I heard your talk, it reminded me of someone that this congregation knows. And a voice told her to come. And she shared the last days of her life with us, and she made a tremendous impact on our church. Personally, she showed me a walk of faith, someone that truly believed, in spite of having nothing, that God was present in her life and God was present in this church. So I just want you to know you're not alone in that, and that God has done things here that could be helpful to you. And anyway.
King, this battery's on red. If I need to switch to this in just a minute, I'll do that. My next five. Several years ago, I was asked by someone who lives in this neighborhood if we had an extra couch because his one-fourth ton mother had just about collapsed the couch she had been using and could barely move from. I found one, loaded it into the back of my truck, and brought it over. Transferring the woman from the broken couch to the new couch was just about one of the most heartbreaking and beautiful things I have ever done in my ministerial career. And since I cannot pray in Spanish much more than gracias Dios por este día, Antonio Zapata prayed over her instead with a spirit and with words filled with grace. Before COVID shut down our ecumenical Thanksgiving services with our neighboring congregations, which I hope revives next year, we read a call to worship that included these lines: "All you big things and all you tiny things, bless the Lord. NRG Stadium and Braes Bayou, Williams Tower and Willow Waterhole, busy fire ants and buzzing mosquitoes, shady magnolia trees and slender pines, praise and extol God forever and ever." I always liked that part. Speaking of ants, when Cora prays out loud at our dinner table, she thanks God for them almost every time, to the point where I feel bad for putting out bug traps in my house for any insect. People who can offer extemporaneous prayers aloud in public amaze me, because it's something I can barely do. Me, who has to write everything down beforehand when I speak in public, even the letters S-N-E-E-Z-E when I have to sneeze. But people like Ford and DeAndre and Ruth and Larry and Steve today, thanks Steve, who can pray in unrehearsed moments, inspire me. Not because God listens to their off-the-cuff words more than my pre-planned ones, but because of the naturalness that blends together their heart and soul with their words and mouth. In smaller groups, I'm a little better, I think, perhaps trained by Dick Darrow and others at the men's prayer luncheon that we used to have when I first moved here. And I listen to my brothers pray person by person around the lunch table, people who probably would not pray in bigger gatherings like this one, but felt at home in a nondescript room without windows. What about you? Where have your best prayers taken you?
Sometimes prayer is awkward. Steve and I were in Sprouts 2 or 3 years ago, and there was a man selling juice, and it was some small company, and he wanted us to take some samples. And so Steve and I started taking the samples, and he asked us what we do, which, being a counselor and a minister, you're going to get a lot of responses of what people, how they're going to respond to us. And he was so excited that Steve was a minister. And so right there in the middle of Sprouts, he laid hands on both of us and started to pray very loud. And I think the whole store heard, and it was very awkward. And I believe God's Spirit was sitting there with us, and the man shared his story with us. And not only were we able to receive him, I think we received a blessing from him.
For those of you that don't know, my birthday was on September the 27th, not too long ago. 2 months ago, I got a phone call at 4 a.m. from my mom, and it was one of those phone calls that she didn't want to answer. So I didn't answer it because I wasn't ready. Then I woke up at 6 and I called her back, and she told me, "PJ, this is it. Your dad is in the hospital, and he's not going to make it." And I've never felt so alone, because I'm here in Houston alone and they're there. And at that point, I'm not, because of the way that I was raised and the kind of religion I come from, is completely, I already feel the difference. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and I told God, "I don't want anything for my birthday this year. All I want to do is to see my dad again." One night, my mom calls me and tells me, "This is the night. Talk to your dad. It's over." He went to sleep. The next day, he woke up and he was hungry and he was annoyed because he'd been in the hospital for so long. So that was, I prayed for that to happen, and I hadn't prayed in a long time since then. And I'm just glad that Jesus was able to answer my prayer and I didn't lose my father, because there's a lot of things that I still want to do with him.
In the days before Lifeline Chaplaincy, Marie got me to visit a number of people in the hospital. And I remember a pair of incidents up at MD Anderson. Jeffrey came from the valley. Jeffrey was very sick with cancer. He was about 3. They had dropped a bottle of chemo on the floor and it had splattered on him and given him burns. But they didn't think Jeffrey would live through the night. At the same time, Rachel was there. Rachel was from Abilene, also about 3. Both of them were extremely seriously ill. I visited with them over a period of weeks, and some of them were over a period of months, really. I stayed up there till 10, 11 that night, hobbling back and forth between the two children's rooms. I prayed as hard as I've ever prayed in my life for God to spare their lives. They didn't think either one would survive the night. I went home, got some sleep, and first thing the next morning, headed back to MD Anderson. I started at Rachel's room. She was in her bed. She was sitting up in bed. She was thinking. She had eaten. It was a
condition. We're going to try this one again. I think it's good.
And I was rejoicing and went down the hall to Jeffrey's room, and it was empty. As hard as we pray, as much as we love, we don't always get what we want. Last I heard, Rachel was alive and well in Abilene, though she has tremendous heart issues as a result of chemo. And Jeffrey's family went home.
My last 5. One time I went to a prayer service at Abilene Christian outside at the amphitheater steps. In order to pray for rain with a group of people, to pray for rain to end a prolonged drought, and only one person, not me, had thought to bring an umbrella. One time when I lived in Oregon and in my very early 20s, the minister of the church I was a part of laid his hands on my shoulders to pray for me, which made me nervous, put olive oil on my forehead, which made me nervouser, and read from Jeremiah chapter 1 over me, which made me nervousest. One time when I was at a conference, a Native American woman prayed in her tribe's nearly extinct language, and while she prayed, she played a tambourine-sized drum, hitting it with a small stick. One time I was doing a house blessing, and 2 women that I love and respect prayed in tongues I didn't understand while I read aloud from the Psalms. One time I heard my very good friend literally weep during prayer, confessing that he did not know where to go or how to lead. And that very night, he received a breakthrough. Last round, I'm going to pause here. Where have your best prayers taken you? That mic or this one?
Hello, my name is John. I'm grateful that this Southwest Central's here. I've been here like maybe a month, and it's taken me to a new level of being. And the other day I was walking along and I was talking with somebody, 71, sitting on the Heights Boulevard, and he was homeless, and he had just lost his wife, and he was in good health, but we started talking, and we became a real human all of a sudden, and we had lifted each other's spirits, and it was just a real good thing, and I've been doing a lot of praying, and I found a new path of consciousness, and my brother is picked up third bout of cancer, and I'm sure he's going to be fine. He's just a real tough, hungry individual, but even though it's the third time, and Vietnam vet, and and we're building the Macy's Thanksgiving Parade floats, and we're making a 25-foot high nurse with the COVID things going on with the Diamond Plus logo, it's been a long time since we haven't had to lock the screen doors. And anyway, that's all I got.
I'm not trying to hog the mic this morning, but I can't let the opportunity pass. Where does prayer take me? I will tell you that for about, I don't know, the past 4 months, I've been part of a prayer group. You know that the Wednesday night Cafe Grace was a very important time for me. I was blessed to be in a study with a lot of people. And in that study, we had a prayer time that was special. And when COVID hit, Dee Pipes, bless her heart, knew that there was technology that could allow us to pray over the phone in a group. And she set that number up on Mercy Mabani's phone. So if you ever want to pray, you do what I do. I have the church directory on my phone. I look up Mercy's picture, and I hit Mercy's phone, and she lets me into one of the most prayer, most powerful hours of prayer I know. If you have not listened to Mercy Mabani pray, she is a very, very good prayer. She's my prayer warrior, and I just can't help. Those of you who know me know that one of my passions is seeking first the kingdom of God, and it hardly fails to follow me sometime during the hour, 7 to 8 on Wednesday nights, that I realize this is what God intended. He wanted his creatures to come calling, praise him, to thank him, and occasionally ask for things. That's what's really amazing. In the hour of prayer, most of the time, and I see Peggy back there, Peggy's part of our group, it's thanking God for the things in their lives. And anyway, I just tell you that I'm very blessed to be part of that group, and that's a prayer time that's available to anybody here. If you know Marcy Bibani's phone number, call her at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night and join our group. Thank you.
We have time for one more. Maybe somebody who hasn't. The ones who have, we're grateful.
I'm going to be there.
I believe my prayers have taken me to many places, and I'm not sure exactly where I'm headed, but I know that God's with me through every step, so I am sure everything's going to be okay. And I don't really know what else to say, but everybody that's here, I'm glad y'all are here, and anybody that's going through a rough time, I hope that everything gets better for everybody. Yeah.
When I first met Elvis, he came up to maybe right here, and now he's not there anymore. I have many more that I could share, as do you. So if you... microphones are not your thing, in front of a camera is not your thing, come up and tell me later. I would love to hear where your best prayers have taken you. I also hope that many more will come my way in the future, going to where my best prayers take me, to the God we see in the person Jesus, who says, have faith, and you can throw mountains into the seas, not because of your own ability, but because you trust in the one who can. Who says, forgive one another amongst the hardest things to do. And remember, God forgives you too. And who also says, pray. Believe that you have received it and it will be yours. There have been times when I have prayed and asked and begged and not a single thing happened, or the opposite of what I prayed happened. There have been times when my prayers have felt empty and void, my words carried off by silence. There have been times when I prayed and I received exactly what I prayed for, which took me by complete surprise. It's all very mysterious, I acknowledge. But what I hope I know by now is that God is not a magic genie who will give to your heart's content. But when your prayers line up with the desires of the kingdom of God, I think that's what that means. Yes, believe, because it's already yours. None of this is about the power of prayer or the power of me. It's about God and God's power, the one who pumps life into our shrunken hearts, the one who says, you are mine. Our best prayers today have brought us before a tree withered from its roots up, without figs or leaves, just a dry stick. Meeting underneath it this morning, left to our own devices, we probably would not have chosen it as our best prayer spot. But it's the unexpected places, without pomp and circumstance, like AA meetings or hospital bedsides or the back of a truck with a collapsed couch you're hauling away, or yes, even a church gathering, that we meet God there, where God is planting and growing a new thing. Go where your best prayers take you, church. Go with the invitation to search them out wherever they may take you, and return to those places and pray. And together we say or we type, amen. Let's stand as we sing Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. And snares I have already come. His grace hath brought me safe thus far, and the grace will lead me. Shining as the sun, with no less days to sing God's praise than when we first
where our prayers have taken us this morning is directly to the table, to this table, this bread that we get to share, which represents the body of Christ, and the cup, which represents Christ's blood poured, shared for us and with each other. What a gift that we get to do that today. As we have become accustomed to doing, if you would like to help me share the bread and the cup, you can come up to the table and help me in just a few moments. I'm going to pray, and then please join me up here. Let's do that together now, please. Father, for the people who have shared today, we give you thanks for tending to their prayers in ways that you have seen fit and deemed good. For those things left unsaid, we give you thanks for those as well, that by your presence and your goodness, you continue to work in and amongst those as well. Thank you for working in this bread, this cup, which reminds us that Jesus is with us and among us all. We give you thanks for these things today. Amen. All right, we have a couple of folks who are going to walk around with offering trays. If you have something to put in there, maybe one of those encouragement cards in the seats in front of you, or a prayer request card, or if you have a check or cash or coins that you would like to help contribute to the work of this congregation, this neighborhood, you can do that now. Many of you give online. Thanks for doing that. Or bring it to the office. However you give it, we're thankful. Let's pray, and then these guys will walk around. Oh God, with these funds that we give today, we give them generously and with a full heart. So by your blessings and by your Spirit, would you multiply the gifts that are given, that your kingdom may come, that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's through Christ we pray. Amen. All right, a couple of family matters to share with you. This is where I would wish that the screen was on, because I have some pictures from last week's Trunk or Treat. But I posted a bunch of them on Facebook this week. If you have not seen them, you can go there and check them out. The Waltmans were definitely, you know, above the rest with their whole Mary Poppins outfit. It was great. Next year, I'm coming for you, though. I'm coming. It was great. Thanks to those of you who showed up, who were a part of that, who served or decorated your car, passed out candy. Thank you for doing that. Another slide was going to be the bread basket, which is the room in the very back left of the lobby. It's a room that we've started just a month or so ago that has food supplies, hygiene supplies, toiletries, those kind of things. If you need those, you can go in that room and take whatever you need. You go for it. Others of you, if you swing by the store and you're getting your meal ready for the week and you pick up an extra can of beans, that's great. Bring it to the bread basket. We'll take care of that so we can keep that cycle going. But that's open if you should have a need. Our brother Stanley Gay recently had a CT scan, and he has asked for our prayers today. So I'm going to do that in just a moment as our sending out today. Thank you for your presence today. Thank you for showing up, for being here. I am so grateful for the stories that you shared. Let's stand, please, and we'll be sent out with this benediction in prayer. As Steve prayed earlier, oh God, may the call to discipleship always weigh upon us, not as a heavy blanket, but as a joy that we get to carry, that we get to walk with. And not by ourselves, but with each other, other people in this room, those watching online, people who have long passed on and people who are yet to come. We give you thanks for this whole body of Christ. We pray for Stanley and his health. We want you to take care of him, please. Other issues that are going on in this body, whether in health or in spirit or mental issues, emotional issues, or finances, whatever that case may be, we entrust those to you as well and pray that you would tend to them in ways that you see fit. So send us now, O God, in peace and purpose, because it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.